Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Simpoga. This evening we'll talk about the U.S. President's visit to Africa. And with us tonight is David Ohito. David is the online news editor at the Standard newspaper in Nairobi. Good evening, David. Hello, David.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Good, thank you. Welcome to the show.
Sante sana.
Sio sana, buwan. And joining us from Durban in South Africa is Suleiman Mugula. Suleiman is an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas and David.
How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you doing that side?
Thank you. And joining us from Dallas here in Texas is Hussein Kiflu. Kiflu is an Ethiopian social and political commentator. He is also a research assistant at the Southern Methodist University. Good evening, good afternoon, Kiflu. Oh, I think the line has dropped, but he'll be joining us momentarily. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Reporters Roundtable. And as I said, our topic tonight is President Obama's visit to Africa. He's been visiting Kenya and then Ethiopia. First of all, David, how is the mood in Nairobi? Are people excited about the impending visit?
Yes, people are very excited that President Obama is going to make history by becoming the first serving U.S. president to set foot on Kenyan soil. And more interestingly, because Obama has roots here, his father lived here and was buried here in a place called Kogelo in Shea County, the western part of the country. So there's a lot of excitement, but there is also some fear and anxiety that there could be a lockdown when he arrives here, and that could cause a lot of challenges for residents and so on.
I see. Before I go to Suleiman, I'm told we have Kiflu now. Kiflu, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Douglas.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Yes, we have Suleiman from Durban and David from Nairobi, and he's telling us about the mood in Nairobi. Suleiman, David just mentioned there how things can be tight if the U.S. president is visiting an area. You've noticed that in South Africa when he came there. So people there are excited, but some of them don't have the freedom to move as they wish.
Of course, you won't have the freedom, but it is African to welcome visitors, and we cannot wish it away that Obama is the most powerful person on the globe. So visiting your neighborhood is not an easy thing, but it is very exciting, and I think we should understand those who feel they will be disrupted. They will understand, because he's such a powerful man, and it is always a pleasure to have him around, because he comes with a lot of benefits also.
I see. Before I go to Kiflu, David, many Kenyans, I'm told, had been a bit unhappy because this visit had been put on ice as President Uhuru faced charges of crimes against humanity for his role in the 2007-2008 post-election violence. It's been a long time coming, this visit.
Yes, it's been a long time. It's been a long wait, not only for the people of Kenya, but also for the people of his father and his grandfather who lived in Kenya. So I think even from the interviews with the immediate family members of his father, he has been very clear that he was going to come to Kenya, but he needed some of the things cleared before he could come. And he said it rightly. He said there would only be essential contact, if I remember pretty well, with the leaders who are facing charges. But once the president of Kenya, Uhuru Kenyatta, was cleared of those charges at ICC, I think that cleared a major way. And we are looking forward to seeing what he will offer when he comes here, because he appears to be having a broad agenda for the region in sub-Sahara. I remember the energy projects that he spoke of fondly at the Africa Leaders Summit in Washington, D.C. And more importantly for us, the question of terrorism, because Kenya has borne the brunt of terror attacks, some of them targeted at American installations. So for us, we are looking at it from very many platforms, and we want to see how it tackles those questions.
I see. Kiflu, yes. Well, President Obama's visit to Africa is important enough, but visiting Kenya, many Africans still believe Kenya, Mr. Obama, is their son, sort of.
Yeah, okay.
So it must be very exciting.
Yeah, for Kenyans, it must be very exciting. Even for Ethiopians, it could have been very exciting. But let me show you two aspects of irony about Obama's upcoming visit to Ethiopia. You know, as you know, during the long reign of Emperor Haile Selassie, Ethiopia had been a staunch ally of the United States. Although Haile Selassie's government was semi-feudal, absolute monarchy, that is far from democracy, it had nevertheless had the traditional sense of decency, also known as fear of God, and which most of us Ethiopians, irrespective of our opposition to his rule, you know, as socialists, quote-unquote, as atheists, or what have you, feel very nostalgic of it today. And his government was by far the best in human, and than the military regime that replaced him and the current rulers who hailed from the bush. Yet no American president from Kennedy to Nixon, all of them were whites or Anglo-Saxon, graced Haile Selassie by paying him official visit on his domain. Ironically now, we have a black president who has heritage from Africa, closest to Ethiopia, a fact Obama himself told us is very proud of in the speech he made in Ghana. Yet he's disappointing us by lending legitimacy to one of the worst tyranny on this planet by paying an official visit to the tyrants in Ethiopia. And the second irony, you know, the second ironical aspect I see in his visit to Ethiopia is in the people who are planning to host him in Addis. They were avowedly Marxist or anti-imperialist when they were in the bush during the Cold War. And so one of the imperialist powers they used to badmouth was the United States. These people were forced to change tack on the surface in the late 80s when the Soviet camp or the Eastern Bloc crumbled. And now we see them expressing pride to have managed the first sitting American president to have him on an official visit in Ethiopia. So these are the irony. But then, you know, having said that, United States' double standard in its foreign policy is nothing new. I mean, one can look at its notorious track record of supporting egregious tyrants from Latin America, you know, Sub-Saharan Africa, the Middle East, and Far East, in the name of short-sighted national interest that always backfires. So that is how I see it, Douglas. I mean, his visit, it's a totally, totally contrary to the speech, to the rhetoric he said in Accra. So that's my take on his visit.
I see. Suleiman, following up on Kiflu's point there, it's going to be quite a balancing act between the audience in Nairobi and the audience in Addis Ababa. Here you have a country like Kenya that's more or less on path to democracy, trying its best, not perfect though, but trying. It has had change of government, it has had problems, we understand, but at least there's some semblance of, there's free media at least. And then you have another government in Addis Ababa where they are cracking down hard on political parties. They recently won an election by 100%. Most of the opposition political leaders are either in exile or beaten up or, I mean, and then these are two different audiences. So what's your take on that?
That is the double standard which my brother Kiflu is talking about. In other words, what he's saying is that since he left Ghana, with all the excitement which he gave the Africans, as far as governance or as far as the change in the African lives as broadly is concerned, has been little. Why has it been little? Because there is the difference from the rhetoric to what is actually happening on the ground. We don't deny the fact that America has been so kind and it has done some good positive things like PEPFAR. It has had some investment like now the follow-up of the entrepreneurship summit. These are good, but that is the skewed and the double standard of America. By and large, for those countries which were facing poverty, abject poverty, oppression and the dictatorship, the way he left them in Ghana, they have even become worse. So that is why there are two aspects altogether. While we can celebrate in Nairobi because of the achievement and the relative development in Nairobi, at the same time we are crying in countries like Ethiopia, countries like Uganda, countries like Rwanda, countries like DRC, countries where he has not, where the Americans' moral standards have not touched them, where the rhetoric which was in Ghana has not been followed up by actions on the ground. Instead, they have been regressing into more and more dictatorship, more and more poverty, more and more oppression, more and more suffering for the African people.
David, some analysts argue that at times it helps to visit such a kind of leaders and maybe engage with the people and maybe point out their flaws or weaknesses, or is it better to just ignore them? What's your take on this? Because both Kiflo and Suleiman seem to think visiting Addis Ababa is like a sort of endorsing or legitimizing a kind of dictatorship.
No, I wouldn't agree with Kiflo so much, but I would really encourage, because we have seen this kind of pariah status, and it has never worked before. Why don't you change the methodology of doing it, that you can visit and tell people that, you know, I come from America, there's a free press, there's a free and a very robust opposition, and there's nothing that stops the state from moving on. I'm still the president, and that the prime minister there can also sit in office, but he can also allow modern days of management and governance by allowing opposition to thrive, by allowing freedom of media and freeing journalists who are in jail. And that kind of message can be sent. How would he feel if Obama said, can I visit the journalists who are in jail for now? I think that would send a very strong message. And I think the mere fact that you do not visit does not make a very big difference. In any case, they've not been visiting. Has Ethiopia been better? No, it is worse. Let us see what comes out of the visit. Perhaps there could be the beginning of change, and I really encourage President Obama to go to Ethiopia and pitch the case of release of journalists in jail, political detainees, and also political exilees to return home and make Ethiopia a better country.
How about that, Kiflo? Kiflo, yourself...
I agree with David partly, but there is a problem, you see. Again, we're coming back to the double standard. You see, if we're talking about engaging these dictators, why doesn't the United States and other Western countries do the same on Zimbabwe? You know, if we see the situation in Zimbabwe, you find that it's far better than Ethiopia. You know, Mugabe had even created a coalition government with his opposition. And you don't find many journalists imprisoned in Zimbabwe. And also the Zimbabwean courts enjoy some degree of independence. I remember at one time one of the opposition, I think he was Chivangari's guy, the court freed him. In Ethiopia, these things are unthinkable. You see, like David said, if Obama and other leaders in the Western country are, you know, their motive is primarily to engage dictators and to bring them back to a semblance of normalcy, I would have agreed with him. But that's not their primary interest. Their primary interest is what they call regional stability. And at the end of the day, that doesn't even work. That doesn't even bring regional stability. In fact, what we are seeing so far is, you know, the longer they engage these tyrants in my country, the more it backfires. That is what is happening in Somalia. The moment the late Malaznawi deployed his soldiers in Somalia, you know, almost the whole Somali youth enlisted to Al-Shabaab. The reason is because there is, even though it's misguided, there is this perception that Ethiopia is the historical enemy of Somalia. And there was a memorandum of understanding, if I remember correctly, in IGAD. And they were planning to deploy peacekeeping troops beyond the immediate bordering countries of Somalia. But then the Bush administration allowed Malal Zenawi to deploy his troops, not even as peacekeepers. We don't even know in what capacity that the Ethiopian soldiers entered in Somalia. And we are seeing the same mistake. The reason that Obama is going to Ethiopia, it's not to engage these dictators and to bring them back to some degree of normalcy. No, that's not the case. It is because now the region seems to be, going up in smokes. You know, it's like Yemen, the situation in Yemen. And there is also fear in, about Eritrean Isaias Afwerki's health. And I think that is the real reason that Obama is going to these people. And then they always tell you that we are engaging them in a constructive way. We don't see them, taking any action publicly. Mm-hmm. And in fact, what we are seeing is to the contrary. Last time Susan Rice was in Ethiopia, she made a very terrible speech. During the eulogy, she praised Malal Zenawi and also this the Wendy Sherman, the undersecretary. She said that the democracy in Ethiopia is getting better and better. Mm-hmm. And I hope Obama is not going to make the same mistake. I hope that in the speech that he's going to make, I'm sure that he's not going to say that Ethiopia is getting better, the election. Mm. I expect him, in fact, now. I know that he's not going to change his itinerary now. I expect him to make a speech like one professor, when he was invited in Addis Ababa University to receive an honorary doctorate, he told them the truth. I expect him, his name was Donald Levin. I expect him to make that kind of speech, at least, But I doubt it very much. So that is a sad situation in Ethiopia. That is what makes most of us Ethiopians angry about his upcoming visit. It's just to lend them legitimacy.
I see. And is that, Kifulu, is that the feeling of most Ethiopians in the diaspora, yes, like you?
Yes.
I see.
Not only in the diaspora. I mean, we are in contact with most Ethiopians in Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. And, you might have heard this news. Some journalists were released, some bloggers and some journalists. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we can't even be happy about their release because we fear that there seems to be some kind of, secret dealing. You release some of these people, to soften us up, and then we don't know what's going to come next. There are so many complex issues cropping up in Ethiopia.
I see. Yeah. This is Reporters Roundtable, and in case you're just tuning in, you're listening to this program coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. And tonight we're discussing President Obama's visit to Africa. Our panelists are David Ohito of the Standard newspaper in Nairobi, Hussein Kifulu, a social and political commentator and a research associate at the Southern Methodist University here in Dallas, Texas, and Suleiman Mugula, a South African-based independent political analyst. And I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Washington. David, you see, the two countries are very interesting because let's now talk a little bit about Kenya, because there is a conference there and there are many regional leaders, I'm made to understand, will be coming to Nairobi to have a chance to shake hands maybe with the president. How is that? What does that put Kenya in that regional context?
Kenya undoubtedly still remains the hub of this Eastern Africa region, and by location, by level of democracy, its ability to connect with the neighboring sub-Saharan states very easily. And I think there is not a problem in hosting leaders here. And in one way, it is an endorsement of Kenya as a global destination, which some of the top leaders and top citizens of the world can come. And for a country that has been battered because of partly its association and closeness with America. I think for us it's a beginning of a good message, because we need to start bringing in tourists to support our economy. We need to start bringing in investors and pitch for Kenya and the region as an investment destination. And remember, he is very passionate about Africa being the source of the next human resource in the next couple of decades. And I think if investors from America and from the world start coming here and to the region, it opens up, increases our infrastructure to be better, and makes the populace slightly richer than they are. And we expect him to bring those investors in droves, not only for Kenya, for Ethiopia, for Uganda, for Tanzania, because once those investors start coming, then you start changing the mindset and perception of those dictators in office. And I expect that even if Kip Lu is still reserved, that even if he comes with Americans who can put money in Ethiopia's economy and they can employ people and try to implement American standards, that for me is a good change that Africa needs anytime, today, and for forever.
I see. Suleiman, recently more than 50 African and global human rights groups have called on President Barack Obama to publicly meet democracy activists when he visits Ethiopia and Kenya. These groups are calling for the president, the U.S. president, to meet in public with these human rights groups like in Ethiopia and Kenya, and so they can air out their views and feelings. Do you think that's a good idea? Because on the other hand, that could be good for public consumption. On the other hand, international public diplomacy at times requires things to be done quietly.
It may not be policy, but it's unfortunate, because it is unfortunate on the size of America that the president is faced with such problems. But what we can get from all these actions is that I think for the first time, America is coming face-to-face with its skewed double standard policy. It has massaged for a long time. It has massaged dictators. It has kept a blind eye to these dictators. Now it is coming face to face with it. People are demanding that they look the dictators in the eyes. Now, the way our brother was saying, if at all the leaders of East Africa are going to come and shake hands, imagine the whole of America, the source of democracy, the harbingers of democracy, they are going to shake, President Obama to shake hands with President Museveni, who has been in power for 30 years, who does not have any respect for human rights. He is going to shake hands with Kagame, he's going to shake hands with Nkurunziza, he's going to shake, I mean, the whole of the East African region at the moment is so fragile. It is almost at a standstill. No country is stable. Sudan, there is fire. Uganda is unstable. Burundi, Rwanda, DRC. All these ones have managed to survive because America has been massaging them, because they are at the forefront at the fighting of terrorism, which itself, in that fight itself, is a paradox, because these are the poorest countries, but they are the ones who are offering to help, indirectly spending more the little resources which they have for their people. So it is, I wouldn't think it will happen. It wouldn't be good for diplomacy, but let us watch and see how the president himself will approach the issue of human rights in the region. Otherwise, it's very bad as far as human rights is concerned in the whole of East Africa, not only in Ethiopia.
I see. We're running out of time. Briefly, Kifulu, could this one be a blessing in disguise somehow? Maybe eyes will be opened, or people may listen to the message the president may have?
Yes and no, because why I say yes is I think by now, like Suleiman said, United States, Obama's administration must have sensed that Africans can no longer be, bamboozled, by his presence, by some making some, superficial speech, and that they are serious in their aspiration for democracy, for respect for human rights. And so they want him really to be committed publicly. I mean, after all, he made a courageous policy shift when it comes to dealing with Iran. despite all that opposition from Israel and in his own backyard. I mean, he can do the same thing when it comes to Africa. So I don't see any point that... it's a blessing in disguise, but at the same time, I fear that when it comes to sub-Saharan Africa, United States still has shortcomings.
I see. David, briefly, what's your take on that?
My take is that there must have been connections which have been made between the Salen and White House for that chemistry to start working. I think the world should focus their eyes on what happens when a Democrat meets a dictator, and can there be change thereafter? Let us look at it positively. And I think so, dictator de Salen to welcome President Obama home, it shows maybe he is not from the old school of dictatorship. He's willing to change. And even dictators need investment. They need investors there. The Africa needs infrastructure badly. And if this can attract investments to Ethiopia and make the people travel faster, get access to hospitals, it doesn't matter even if the dictator is there. They'll be taking lesser time to hospital and get treatment.
Suleiman, the last 30 seconds.
As Africans, we are very grateful that the Global Summit has come to Africa and East Africa. Of course, it shows, it sells Africa to the global business community. We very much know that the trade is very, very much important to our economies in Africa, but we also need to remind America that we shall not have any economic development when there is poor leadership. We need to put the governance system in order first before we can get development. The mindset that we can have good leaders before we get economic development is not right. We have to have good leaders first before we can get the economic development, not the other way around.
I see. And in closing, David, briefly tell us, is Nairobi ready for the American president?
We have been preparing. We have over 15,000 CCTV cameras the first time in since independence. We have beefed up security. The government, both the national and the county government, are working pretty well in tandem to welcome the guests. I think we are more than ready. And the Marines have been welcomed in town too. Obama is welcome to Kenya.
I'm told no more potholes, no more power failure, no nothing. Everything is in order.
yes, we are waiting for the guests to come to town. We can assure him in advance that we are looking forward to his visit.
I see.
We wish you the best.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We'll be following the visit as it goes on, and that's the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, my wonderful panel, David Ohito, online news editor at the Standard newspaper in Nairobi, Hussein Kiflo, an Ethiopian social and political commentator, and a research associate at the Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
You're welcome, and both of you,
Suleiman's
voice and David Ohito's voice after a long time.
Yes, that's what...
I wish to get your address. I think if you can pass to Mugula, he will send it to me.
Yes, and that's that's the trick of President Obama's visit to Africa.
Okay.
Well,
thank
you, gentlemen. Our producer tonight was Jackson Mvunganyi, and our engineer was Peter Handley. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that just in case you miss any part of this program, you can still listen to it by going to the internet and going to our main website at www.voanews.com. Click on Programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Now stay tuned for Africa News Tonight. Thanks for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host Douglas Impoga in Washington, wishing you all the best. Thank you.